amazing how time has gone by. Children make up more than 50% of our church now. It's really kind of cool. Today, I'm a little bit confused what I'm doing, to be honest with you. I don't know if this is a ramble. I don't know if this is a sermon or if it's a testimony. I'll let you decide when I'm done. But I do want to reiterate and emphasize, re-emphasize the points that I made the last time I spoke, and that is this love that God has for us. It's a coincidence. Brandon and I did not speak about what verse he would use. But that verse about nothing can separate you from the love of God, he talks about all the adversity that the world can throw at you, and nothing can separate you. There is one thing that can separate you from the love of God, though, and that's you. You, if you don't focus, if you don't think about, if you don't spend time with him and allow him to pour his love out to you, you'll live a life apart and separate from God. And that's something we really, really have to be careful about. So with that, I would just ask you to bow your heads and we'll just say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to fill this place this morning. Father, make your presence known here among us. Show us how to lay it all down and enter into your presence, Lord. Allow us to experience this unbelievably profound love you have for us. Help us to turn our hearts away from the things of the world, Lord, the things that distract us, the things that get in our way, the things that shame us, and allow us to come back into your presence, Lord, just receiving in abundance the love that you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. You know, the last time I talked, I was up here and I told you that I have a problem, or had a problem. It's kind of cool. The problem was I have a hard time praying. I don't know if any of you experienced this, but I'm in this urge of wanting to tell God how much I love him. And I tell him I love him, and I worship him, and I praise him. And I have a few things I'd like him to take care of in my life. And I worship him, and I praise him, and I have a few things. That's about 3 minutes. And I'm done. I'm trying to pour it out. And I actually get to the point where I say to myself, did I just say that to the creator of the universe? Like I'm muttering on. I'm saying, like, do I really believe I'm talking to the God of the universe? I'm expounding on some nonsense that's coming out of my mouth. And I really struggled with it. And I really prayed to God about it. And I actually did get an answer to this. And I think I shared this again. This is a little bit of a reiteration. But months ago, I was woken up. I saw it on the clock. It was 3:30 on the clock. And I had on my mind this agony in the garden that Jesus went through. And it just, as I'm pouring over it, I don't know why, but I it's kind of a story that we're all familiar with, but Jesus tells his apostles that he's in agony to the point of death. His anxiety is so overwhelming him that he feels like he's going to die. Another gospel tells us that he's bleeding blood. He's sweating blood. He's so consumed with this, what lies ahead of him, that his actual sweating is pouring out in blood, which the medical profession tells us is actually possible under incredible duress. It's actually possible. And then there's the last part. One of the Gospels tells us that he turns to the Father in prayer and he says, Father, take this cup away from me. Now, we've all heard that. And it clearly gives us the idea of the stress that Jesus was going through. And we all look at Jesus' response. And I shared with you, do we ever look at the Father's response? Now, this is a son that the Father has proclaimed publicly to the world on several occasions. When Jesus was baptized at 30 years old at the Jordan, the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father told everybody, this is my son who I love. Listen to him, obey him, listen to whatever he has to say. This is a son who's never disobeyed the Father. The only man, human being, that has ever been blameless and sinless. And he's asking the Father, man, take this cup away from me. And the Father says, no. And at 3:30 in the morning, I'm just like, I've never seen it from the Father's point of view before. And you sit there and you wonder, well, why would he say no to his son? It's ridiculous. He said no because of you, because of me. Like, I'm broken, I'm a sinner, and the perfect Son is asking to have this relieved, and the Father loves us so much that he told the Son, no, we have to go through this. I don't know, when I took you through that, I shared scriptures about this love God has for us. We shared music together, just trying to focus. I don't know if you remember that, but we had a worship song at the end, and we'll do it today. But just trying to get us, and intermittently we read scriptures just about this love that God has for us. And I really, really believe in my heart, he won't let up on this thought in my head. Even this morning, it's crazy this morning, two things happened to me. I was reading scripture this morning. I came across a scripture I never saw before. Ephesians 3:19. And it says for us to know the love of Christ. Paul is saying, know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. In other words, he's telling you can't learn it. If you understand the love God has for you, it surpasses all knowledge. And you can be filled with the fullness of God. He doesn't say get on your knees and pray five times a day. He doesn't say do this. He doesn't say do that. He says do one thing. Know the fullness of the love God has for you. Just know. Just grasp onto. Hold on to the fact that God loves you, and you will have the fullness of God in your life. That's incredible. I mean, we think there's so much work to go in to make up our way through to this getting to know God. He says, know how much he loves you, and you'll know the fullness of God. And then there was another thing. I just getting away by myself this morning, I came across this song. I was listening to a worship song, and the song is called "At the Father's House." And this is the verses that struck me. It says, lay your burdens down. Check your shame at the door. They're not welcome here anymore. And that's the way we have to enter this tabernacle. We all feel inferior. We all feel like we're sinners. We all feel like we've let family down, friends down, ourselves down, we've God down. We've all felt that. When you enter this place or you went to prayer with God, you lay that down. He's not asking for you to be perfect. He's not asking for you to work really hard to do things. He's asking you to understand how much he loves you. And from that point on, he can take you to levels in relationship with him you can't even comprehend. But me, I'm dealing with shame. I'm dealing with the crap in my life that I've done that embarrass him or let him down or have prioritized things above him. And I think he's telling me, man, you got to get over that. Lay your shame. Just lay it. They're not welcome here. Lay it at the door, man. Just when you're walking into a relationship with God, not just here in church, when you're walking into prayer, lay that junk aside, man. It's just an obstacle where he wants to take you. I don't blame any of you for forgetting that that's what I talked about last time. I don't know how memorable it was. But there's one thing I needed to do. Because of the dramatic way in which I felt I was given that message, I really had to practice what I preach. And with COVID and being old now and being near semi-retirement, I have a little bit more time. So my morning is made up basically, it starts at 8 o'clock and go anywhere till 11, but it's made up of exercise and scripture and all sorts of different things that I do. But part of it now has been dedicated to focusing on this love that God has for me by reading scripture and by listening to worship music and stuff. And I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams. I'm just being honest with you. It's the intensity and the duration I can spend now with God has just changed my life. I'm almost embarrassed up here telling you. It's like a holier than thou. I'm feeling a little stupid. That's what I told you. I don't really know what I'm doing up here telling you. But it's just honest. It's just what I'm going through right now. It's been overwhelming just sensing God's love for me. You just get overwhelmed by it. You just can't handle it. He's revealing more and more of his love through me, through scripture, through worship music and stuff. And the movement of this Holy Spirit in my life is very evident. But something's happening while I'm going through it. I'm aware of my failings more than I've ever been aware of them before. I feel like I'm disappointing God, that I'm letting him down. Like, I'm going through these experiences in the morning, and I'm thinking this day is going to be different than any other day. And man, I'm falling into the same holes. I'm making the same mistakes that I'm doing. I'm trying to reciprocate God's love for me by doing it back. And man, it's just not working. And I do have this fear of failing him. I'm so desperate to stay in this relationship with God that every time I mess up on the outside, I think I'm going to lose something. And this is an aside. I would never want to be a preacher. You know, what you have to be willing to expose about yourself is to be that open. I don't know how they do it. I'm not overly comfortable having you think anything but me, that I'm an old guy that sits in the back and I'm an elder probably because I'm old. I mean, I sort of like my image with everybody. I've had to spend the last couple of weeks really focusing on these weaknesses that I have. And a lot of my family is back there. They're not going to agree with this short list that I've come up with. They're going to want to shout at the microphone and say, the list is a little bit longer. But I've realized that, and it really is a gift, I've realized that if I had to isolate where I think my primary problems are, believe it or not, they fall underneath the area of one of the 12 fruits of the Spirit. The fruits are like the evidence of the presence of God or the Holy Spirit in you. And mine happens to be self-control. There are many manifestations of my self-control that win out over me. I have a short temper. When I was younger, it was violent to an embarrassing degree. It's not that way now, but it's very short. There's very, very little for me not to express my dissatisfaction or annoyance at things around me. I work in an environment where profanity is the rule of the land. And I succumb, you know, and even to the point where I can blurt this stuff out at home sometimes, you know, and it's embarrassing, but it's like I don't have that self-control over it. I'm not excusing myself. I'm self-indulgent when it comes to self-control. If I see something that I want or a path I want to go down and stuff, I yield to it. I don't have any discipline with food, and I know that. But you know what? I mean, I don't know if you know, but food's like an addiction. Food's like, people that struggle with alcohol and drugs. This is not much different. Pornography, you know, I'm telling you, food's in that category. You know, it becomes a god to you. It's prioritized. And I'm confessing, it takes a huge, huge role in my life. But the gift that I think I've learned is it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, should I be going out there banging my head every day trying to fix these things? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't I be spending more time and being filled with the Holy Spirit? And one of the manifestations of being filled with the Holy Spirit is the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one of those fruits is self-control. Am I directing my efforts in the wrong way? Am I trying to make myself better for God? Or should I be inundating myself in the love of God and the Spirit of God? And then be looking for the evidence of the change in my life. Yeah. And that's what I'm suggesting. I mean, I don't know if it resonates with you, but I'm suggesting that all these things you're trying to fix in your life, I'm telling you, submitting before God and understanding His love for you will help you get to where you want to be in that relationship with Him and the relationship with those around you. Listen, I'm coming to the realization that I need God to do this thing. And one of the scriptures God gave me, and it's kind of unique, is I came across Jesus saying, I am the way. And there's a lot of ways you can take that verse. I mean, it has so much application. You know, I'm the way. This is the way to heaven. This is the truth. This is where we go. God is the way. Jesus is the way. We need Jesus in order to, we're imperfect. He's perfect. He died. He was crucified on the cross, rose from the dead so that we would be set free. I get that. There's another aspect of Jesus is the way. He's the way to fix this junk in our lives. He's the way. It's not me going out and trying to fix this thing. It's Him. If my eyes are on Him, this stuff falls away. And that was powerful for me, as because I was coming so clearly during this great experience with God in the morning, just being so frustrated that I can't fix myself. God keeps showing me His love is unconditional. He's not waiting for me and you to get better so we can get closer to him. He wants you just the way you are. Just like that song says, lay your shame at the door, man. Just, they're not welcome here anymore. They're an obstacle. We hold on to them because we think it's the noble thing to do before God. We think it's noble to talk about how bad we are, how unworthy we are. He's saying Jesus made you worthy. Do not hang on to that. That's why you need Jesus. But once you have Jesus, don't go back. Do not regress. Do not do that. And listen, I want to be careful about this. This is not a message about me being okay with my sins. God forbid that comes across. I hate my sins. They've never bothered me more than they do right now. But I think that's the part of the process of getting over them. They have never bothered me more than they bother me right now. Because I feel like we all have this opportunity to be in a relationship with God, and our sins are creating this internal distancing from him. But again, if we try to fix those without submitting to him, I think we're spinning our wheels. And I think, for me, I'm 68 years old. I've been doing this all my life. I've been trying to fix things for God. And I think what he's showing me is, no, focus on me. I'll fix those things. You don't fix those things. You failed for 68 years. I will fix these things in your life. I don't think God's going to pull away from me. When I'm in a great relationship with him in the morning, and then I go out and sin, I'm terrified he's not going to show up the next day. And I think he's saying, you're an idiot. You don't understand the way this works. You know, when am I going to get through to you? I'm not walking away. You're the only one that's going to walk away in this relationship. I'm not abandoning you. Like, I know you messed up yesterday. I know you yelled at Eileen. I know you were short with the kids. I know you stuffed your face. But I'm not walking away from you. I'm not doing it. You know, if you are letting that be a barrier between me and you, I'm telling you, cut it out. Don't do it. And I'm telling you, I'm kind of overwhelmed by it. And this fear that I had when struggling with my failings, I'm so aware of this relentless pursuit he has of me. The presence of the Holy Spirit, and I believe, if I'm saying this, this is why I'm a little nervous about the talk. The presence of the Holy Spirit has never been greater on my life than it is in the last month or two. And if it's on me, man, it's meant to be here. I mean, I am nothing in his eyes. You know, it is, I think it's just the conduit. It's just the sharing. But I think this is crazy. So I get in this thing where I'm spending time with him and I'm really enjoying it. And then I'm afraid it's going to go away. And the next day, and this has been going on for 3 weeks now, I think, I have this ceaseless presence of the Holy Spirit every morning. I think my family thinks I'm going nuts because I'm upstairs, I've got a door closed, I'm up in the upper area of the house, and music is playing loud, I'm yelling, I'm screaming, I'm doing things I've never done before in my life. And I'm going to be honest again, I don't know, when I'm praising God and I'm totally absorbed in his love for me, I'm saying things I don't understand. And I know their tongues, and I know we're a community church, and I know we're made up of a lot of different beliefs, a lot of different backgrounds, and I don't want to offend anybody. I've always believed in tongues. I've never really understood their significance because I don't know how they bless other people. You know, it's more like a personal thing. And I'm not saying it's for everybody, but I'm just being honest. There's no way I understand what's coming out of my mouth. And on occasion, after I'm done, I start to understand what I said. You know, you start to get that feeling, wow, I know what I just said to God, you know. But I'm not, again, I don't want to be controversial. I don't want to be talking about that aspect. I want to be talking about this feeling of just being in God's presence every morning. It's crazy. And it stops. I think next day it won't happen. It won't happen. Every day he's there. I think God has already delivered me of these sins that have an obstacle. And I think he's holding back to deliver it. I think I'm healed and I don't see it yet. And the reason is he's showing me he still loves. His ceaseless love for me is going on forever. Like, he's not pulling away. It is. I appreciate that you're hearing that because I'm overwhelmed by it. This is what I think. I think God is moving at this time.
Amen.
If it's on me, this is nuts. There's no worthiness here. There's no reason it's on me and not being out there for everybody to share. This is what he's doing. You know, I'm the pigeon. I'm the front runner. I'm that test case, I guess. Certainly there's no worthiness to it, but I believe this with all my heart for this church. I feel like I'm going through a revival. And I think there's a revival for this place that's going to come. I really honestly believe it. I'm not a Pentecostal preacher. I don't get up there and start doing this stuff. I am broken by what's going on. And I have no choice but to share that. And if I sound like I'm comfortable doing it, man, take another look. I don't know what's going on, but I do know it's him, and I know it's his presence, and I know it's for you. All these prayers that Pastor Greg and Pastor Joel have offered up for this church over the years, I think they're happening. I really do. I talked to Pastor Greg today. His foot's bothering him. I mean, I think there's stuff in the air. I think there's healing. I think there's just the presence of God that's all over this place right now. You know, our world is offering no solutions. There's no answers out there in the world. You know, and when we try to fix what everybody's doing wrong, we're just falling in and caving into the ways of the world. It's not our job to tell the world what they're doing wrong. It's our job to be absorbed into this love that he has for us and be able to share that with people, not with judgment, not with condemnation, not with telling people what they're doing wrong, just by being able to glow with this presence of the Holy Spirit that's on us. And that's what I think is happening and is going to continue to happen in this church. So I'm going to ask Elise to come back up if she's still around. This is what I want to tell you guys, though. Don't wait. Don't wait until you fix things in your life before you come to God. Don't do it. It's just a waste of time. I can testify to 68 wasted years. You try to fix things in your life. And then you think maybe you're worthy to come before God. Don't do it. That's not the way he wants you. That's not why Jesus died on the cross. He died for you when you were a sinner. He did not die for you because you were making yourself good. He wants you to come as you are. As we enter into this worship song, I think lay your shame down. It's not welcome here anymore. Just lay it down. Come into the knowledge of God's love for you. And you will absolutely move into the fullness of God, into the knowledge of God. You will know God so much better once you realize what he's done for you. Stop trying to do it yourself. If you're like me, that's good for 3 minutes a day, and it's worthless. You go the other way and allow him to love you, and it just becomes overwhelming, and you don't want it to end.